Dr. Ira E. Harrison. And he's here tonight from back east. He's visiting. And where are you visiting from again?
I'm visiting from ATL. They call it Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. Yes. They call it ATL.
Okay. And, well, the main reason why we want to talk to you tonight is because we understand that you're a poet and a spoken word artist, amongst other things, like an anthropologist, and you have various degrees and everything. But can you talk a little bit tonight about your poetry, how you weave words into...
Well, I don't know whether or not this will be helpful or not, but basically, as you say, introduce myself, I've been doing a open mic for the last 11 years at the Southwest Regional Library off Cascade in Atlanta. And I start out with saying my name is Ira E. Harrison, also known as Dr. Poet, they call me. But my doctorate is in the social sciences, anthropology. My profession is public health, the behavioral sciences, but my passion is poetry. And it's out of my passion that I come to you tonight. So then I change hats, put on my hat. I forgot to bring the hat. But anyhow, the poetry hat. And then I said, well, my philosophy on poetry is this. Poetry is beauty. Poetry is truth. Poetry is versatile. I can say it all. And poetry is personal. It's your choice voice. And my poems are like little darts aimed at your heads and your hearts. Sometimes I hit you, sometimes I miss you. So I'll try one on for sure. I said, this one is called Too Dumb. Too Dumb. It goes like this. Smoking was smart when I was young, but then I was too dumb to do it. I never learned to smoke. I lettered in track and cross country in high school, and I needed all the breath I could get. So I never smoked. And then a couple of years after I finished Hopkins, a place called Johns Hopkins, I got a call from one of my classmates from Shreveport, Louisiana. She said, have you ever heard what happened to Dr. So-and-so? I said, Dr. So-and-so? No, what happened to Dr. So-and-so? She said, he's dead. I said, dead from what? She said, cancer. I said, you mean the world's authority on cancer died from smoking and cancer? She says, I'm afraid so. So you see, I wasn't too dumb. But let me try another one. Poem. You gotta listen. That's one thing about poetry. You have to listen. This one is called Grass. Grass. I walk on cement, not green grass. I walk with confidence and class, while others walk their dogs on grass, but seldom stoop to scoop dog. I walk on cement, not green grass. You get it? I said, sometimes I hit you, sometimes I miss you.
Yes, but the thing about your poetry, though, is that it does tell a story from beginning to end. Oh, yes. And a lot of these stories, it sounds like, are experiences from your own life.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes. What is it I like about my girl the best? Is it that she's from the South and not the West? Is that she's almost 6 feet tall with a sunny smile and a hearty, hello, y'all. Is it her velvet voice? Quality, one sacked in soul and solemnity. Is it her walk in moving parts that turns my head and beats my heart? Is it her pizzazz and passion too that causes me to continue to pursue her beauty, brain, body? Oh God, what is it I like about my girl the best? I like the way you move, you sway a little south of smooth, like the last lingering leaf on a silver maple tree. I like being tied up, tied down, tied in to you. My girl.
Wow, wow.
And when I read that, I said, that's crazy. I'm nobody. Because my parents raised me to be somebody. And she's talking about I'm nobody. And so I wrote this poem. If you're just anybody, you're nobody. If you're nobody, be somebody. If you're somebody, be somebody better. And when you think you are as best as you can be, beware. And that won me third prize in the Syracuse Museum of Fine Arts Poetry Contest. That's my first poem.
So written or recited? Written.
Yeah. I sent it in. Yeah. When I was in 11th grade.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but I'd written poems before that time at the James Adams School, the old Negro school, in a place called Coatesville, Pennsylvania, which is 32 miles southwest of Philly, where I was born. And a poem about October. What it was is that the teacher wanted us to go to the library and explore our curiosities, you know? And we said, that's crazy. Here we said, we're going. We don't want to go to the library and explore our crazy. So reluctantly went to the library, you know, and I said, what am I going to do? You know, go to the library, you know. So I flipped through the books there and I wrote a poem called October, and I won't bore you with it. It's a long, wrangling poem on what went on during the month of October. It's like October. But it was the last verse that really caught on, and it went like this. Some people say they're ghosts. I don't believe in them, do you? But if you ever meet up with one on Halloween, just you look him in the eye, and when you get ready to leave, don't forget to say goodbye. So that's what people just cracked up. But it was a long rambling. That was my first poem.
That's fabulous, Ira.
Yeah. Well, I'll do one from Poetry and Prevention.
Okay, great. And then we'll see if Melvin has any questions.
This is called Anger.
Uh-oh.
Or It Felt Like What I Wanted.
Okay.
It felt like what I wanted. It was righteous indignation. When you dissed me, got me so blind, could not see or pee, so I tore into you before I know what I was doing. Stop. Stupid like a punched out prune. It was not righteous indignation, but anger. And anger will eat you up. Anger is as real as lightning flashing at midnight. It can light you up, leak you out, ulcerate your innards, and wipe you away. You have to deal with anger. It is as dangerous as dynamite. Ignore it, and it will burn you badly. So get it out of you. Scream, shower, pray, dance, work, romance, whatever. But let it out fully, gingerly, before it oozes and bruises you. Anger will eat you up if you let it.
That's good.
Thank you, Ira. Thank you very much. Melvin, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I'm looking at your picture. I see you got a lot of young people involved, especially females. Do you notice a different style in the younger generation of poets that's coming along?
Some seem to be searching for something. Mm-hmm. Not sure what. Mm-hmm. But one of the things we provide is sort of like a platform where they could come and express themselves, mm-hmm. basically. Mm-hmm. We don't try to shoot them any way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they flake in and flake out. Mm-hmm. But we think now that we have Sister Lucinda Clark coming back. In fact, she was very impressed with the group, and she wants to come back and work with us.
Mm-hmm. How about that rap concept? The concept of rap is that a lot of people out here, the argument is still going on because we have a lot of people on the radio that mm-hmm. talk about mm-hmm. this and try to distinguish
the difference between rap
mm-hmm. and poetry.
Yeah.
Well, myself, again, in my philosophy of poetry, I'm talking about my philosophy of poetry, it is your choice voice. It is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
It is you.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's you, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It may not be me or someone else. Just like, let me give you an example.
Okay.
Enough is a feast. Too much means obese. two little leaves of grease in the belly. That's when I'm going to die.
Oh, it's like a haiku of some sort.
Yeah. And let me say this to a former adorable stepdaughter who died of breast cancer at the age of 37.
Okay, for
called
sure.
Adele Farewell. Oh. Adele Farewell, you know I don't like goodbyes. Mm. Deep beneath my eyes, tears carve canyons of paralyzing pain you'll never see, like the pain you mask from me. Tears flow silently out to sea, buoyed up on some sunny shore where pain cannot endure. In rainbows swell, Adele, 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 farewell, farewell. She never complained. She never complained. 37.
Close this out with one last piece. Okay.
Well,
and we thank you for coming all this way and sharing your time and sharing your words with us.
I'm gonna go with this one rather than the baddest woman in this system is the sister. I'll go with this one.
Okay.
This is called Bad. B-A-A-D, beautiful African-American daughters.
Okay.
Bad are beautiful, agile, entertaining Africans from Egypt to the Aegean, the Caribbean, and the Americas. They've been quite sustaining, cute, charming, creative, clever, dealing with Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Caesar, and whomever. Captain Charlie, Miss Anne, or Jim Crow. Meeting and beating the time for testing, they've been up to the challenge, no idle nesting. Sisters like sharp silver scissors who cut to the quick, built far-flung families, prettier and stronger than machine-made brick. Bad.
That's nice.
Well, thank you, Ira.
Yeah.
We've had a moment here this evening through Voices from the Ether with Dr. Ira E. Harrison. Mm-hmm. And we wish him well on the rest of his time here. And thank you for this evening.
You're very welcome.